good evening.
Amen.
It's a great joy to be here this evening with you all. It wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. It's been about a month since Fong and I were ordained. And we met about a week before in the Sangha house with our new robes. And the hardest thing was the sleeves. They're so big, and I'm pretty sure they're not quite right even now. But I'm getting more comfortable with them. And the karomo itself is quite heavy, but the sleeves billow around if you're not mindful or careful about it. And when I first started to wear the robes, I thought of windmills and, you know, the word quixotic. Do you know that? Quixotic. Comes from the book Don Quixote. It's derived from that. And I wasn't comfortable the first time wearing them. And then a couple days later I decided to put them on again in our bedroom. And Lucy was there laying on the bed, and she said, "Oh, you look like a Jedi Knight." And that really was, you know, that stirred something. And actually, the two most influential, I would propose, the two most influential and probably most debated modern epics are Don Quixote and Star Wars. One may poorly depict chivalry, and the other may poorly depict Zen. But they come as bookends to modernity, and they both describe trials we all face. Modernity is a long lever to wield. But our tradition spans numerous cultures and periods. It was started by Buddha long ago in a place far, far away. Many of our ancestors practiced under more difficult or arduous conditions. But our time features a filtered kind of skepticism which has seeped into our language, and that's one of the great challenges to practice that I want to talk about tonight. And as we think about what the conditions in nature are of a life and community, how we both see things through our own perspective and through cultural conditions that shift with time as well as the culture. I thought back to when I was young and I saw something palpable about the potential for self-mastery in these stories. Could I do that too? Cervantes, the author of Don Quixote, was a crusader. He faced the Ottomans in the sea battle of Lepanto. He was held in manacles by Barbary pirates for 5 years in Algiers. And he spent middle age traveling through the countryside, collecting grain for the Spanish fleet. Then, as an old man, he wrote about human nature. He was never successful, He did not receive any royalties for his work because this type of structure didn't exist in 1605. George Lucas, we know much more about him. He was a product of Modesto, California. He went to USC Film School, founded American Zoetrope with Francis Ford Coppola. And after unprecedented early box office success, he's now largely stopped making films. And he sold Lucasfilm to Disney in 2012 for $4 billion. The majority of which he intends to donate to charity. Mr. Alonzo Quixano reads so many chivalric romances that he loses sanity and decides to set out to revive chivalry, undo wrongs, and bring justice to the world under the name Don Quixote de la Mancha. He recruits a simple farmer, Sancho Panza, as his squire, who often bears the brunt of Don Quixote's pontificating on knighthood. Don Quixote, the Knight of the Mournful Countenance, in the first part of the book, does not see the world for what it is and imagines that he is living out a knightly story. The innkeeper informed his other guests of what was going on, of Don Quixote's vigil, and his expectation of being dubbed a knight. And marveling greatly at so extraordinary a variety of madness, they all went out to see for themselves and stood there watching from a distance. For a while, the knight-to-be, with tranquil mien, would merely walk up and down. Then, leaning on his lance, he would pause to survey his armor, gazing fixedly at it for a considerable length of time. As has been said, it was night now, but the brightness of the moon, which well might rival that of him who lent it, was such that everything the novice knight did was plainly visible to all. Sometimes it feels like that as you start to move into what's a calling that takes you away from social convention and yet I thought of a song that reminded me of an unfortunate modern condition. It's called "A Distorted Reality Is Now a Necessity to Be Free," and it's the last song Elliott Smith recorded. And the refrain features a line that says, "Shine on me, baby, because it's raining in my heart." And I feel as though this is a very common problem. We've gotten to a point where our hearts are not in it, and delusions are inexhaustible, as we know. But even though it's a struggle when it's raining, there's space in the drops. I started practicing, not really knowing that I could wade into my own heartbreak and eventually help others. That place might be cold or dirty or filled with junks that may consist of beliefs or desires or hurts that have come through a lifetime but I have a appreciation for people that help me and I'm very grateful for less, for accepting me as his disciple. I appreciate that we are all interconnected, and we may not even know it, but we can cultivate that understanding There's a man named Lewis Hill that started KPFA up in San Francisco. It was the first listener-supported radio in the country. It was broadcast from the Berkeley Hills. And George Lucas once said that Star Wars was all of the flotsam and jetsam I thought I felt when I was 12. But on a Sunday night in 1957, in Modesto, you could hear Renaissance choral music at 8:45, followed by Alan Watts' Eastern Religion and Western Philosophy at 9:30, followed by Henry Jacobs' Ethnic Music at 10, and then Pauline Kael's The Film at 10:30 before the 11 p.m. sign-off. But without that warm hand, an entire world can still feel remote or cold or dark. In the Death Star, an officer tells Darth Vader, "Fear will keep them in line, fear of this battle station." That's Thomas Hobbes. That's Leviathan. That's a man who lived through the English Civil Wars, who said the state of nature of man is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. And he is the foundation of Western political philosophy. And even our modern English language is utilitarian. Even when we say, "Does that matter?" That's a nod to the materialism insisted by Thomas Hobbes. One that April with his shortest sutta, the roots of March have pierced into the ruta, and bathed every vine in sweet liqueur, of which Ventru engendered is the fleur. Wan zephyrs ache with his sweet breath, inspired hath in every holt and heath, the tender cropes and the young sonna, hath in the ram and the half cause yeronna. That's Canterbury Tales prologue. And that's less than 150 years before, 250 years before. But Zephyrus is the west wind, and so we've gradually neglected our spiritual roots for branches of knowledge, and And that's given us a tremendous organization, material wealth, convenience. But to appreciate our lives is our practice. And even within our lives, moments, hours, days, weeks, whole eras will pass, and modernity will eventually give way to some new traditions. And I believe that's what we're doing here. A Kyudo Zen archery range that Fuang just visited recently had a calligraphy at the threshold that said, "Courage and beauty." That world, as an effusive and bountiful place, is the encouragement I feel that the sentiment itself is being cultivated between the raindrops. And we have to look carefully, but as our appreciation of life grows, we can take on more. We find the courage for idealism itself. And we see and resist cynicism, partially because we know the disappointment will just be a passing shower. And we can appreciate the humor of writers, accept their shortcomings, and learn from their wisdom. Dogen Zenji said that when he understood that not only all the ancestors were communicating to him, but that he was communicating back to the ancestors, that he was able to get out of the pit he was in at the time. That came at the very end of a talk he gave. And it was such a clear statement, such a personal note, that I felt that encouraged in my struggle. That we're all working through it. We're all taking on as much as we can take on, and that appreciation of that interconnectedness extends and is most directly revealed through the practice. I think entertainment can inspire and I'll just pause for a second. I think entertainment can inspire and open a door. And we see a glimpse me. We yearn for that return, and then that eventually with time forms a call to practice. Amidst protestations of the mind, we come back to that fundamental eternal nature that wants to practice. If there's a heresy, I think it could be giving others the impression that it's easy, that we have it figured out. And we struggle, we suffer, we get confused and lost. But with effort and practice, we get up and try again. And we find we're not alone. But we have this tendency currently to be drug around by our intellects. To remain level-headed. And we specialize. We work very hard to be in a field where we have to commit, leverage out many years of training, and then at the end there can be a disconnectedness. We can question what kind of value we're adding. The heart can become separated from the activity, the mind activity. And I work with kids on mindfulness, and many of the educators that I talk to are coming from that rational view, the practical view. You know, they even have counselors, resilience counselors, and the emotional learning that we need to have to move into the next phase of our development is so sorely needed. Is happening slowly and in a clandestine way, and like our practices when we start, it's crude at first, but there was one piece of art that I found from Lucy's preschool a few weeks ago, where they were celebrating Earth Day. This is when she was four, and she had drawn out all of the solar system, and then my wife had made a note that she'd said, the earth, the one we live on. And then at the end she said, I'm going to take care of our planet. I'm going to recycle. And Alice had a watercolor of the planet, and she had drawn stick figures of people all the way around it, and she had even drawn a few dogs and everyone was connected. So I think we're finding our way, but I think that we are moving into an age when we need a new spiritual language that promotes sufficient community and compassionate citizens. While maintaining all of the most of the benefits, the lifestyle, the mobility, the freedom of communication that we enjoy. I think we're redeemable. Those excessively idealistic qualities of Don Quixote are only part of the story, and at the end he died sane, defeated but sane and at peace. He worked through his delusion, his brokenness, and with our practices, I think we're doing the same thing. Back to our eternal nature. That's where our whole heart is. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. What you were saying about, you know, we feel broken, and when we meditate, you know, we come up against this feeling, these feelings of not having it together. And yet, what you said, I really appreciated that it's important that we get up and try again. I remember when I started meditating here, I felt, you know, just this huge discomfort, you know, with just sitting quietly. And I came up against, you know, all of the sadness and all of the fears and, you know, everything that you don't really want to look at. And just by sitting through with them and keeping on trying to sit with them, I felt as if that's when my heart kind of opened up to this practice, because I knew that was, you know, that was the truth, that my own truth that I had to work with. So you point out something that I think is really important for all of us to remember, that no matter how badly you feel like you're doing, sometimes you just have to keep trying. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And there's a quote that I know you know, ring the bells that still can ring.
Yeah.
Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's Leonard Cohen. Yes, Mike.
Yes, first of all, congratulations on your recent ordainment as a priest. You mentioned being inspired by Star Wars, Don Quixote, and the words of Suzuki Roshi. My question is really why you sought ordainment in the first place, why you decided to become a Buddhist priest, and to what degree was it for your own enlightenment, and to what degree was it to help others?
Well, when I first started practicing, I was looking for some solution to my despair and my confusion and pretty quickly, within 3 months, I thought that if I didn't have a community around my practice, that I wouldn't be able to continue it. I wouldn't be able to support it. And I'm so fortunate to have been just a mile away from Canando, to be living so close. And there are circumstances that are so favorable to me. I'm so grateful to that end. You do get to a point where you're practicing to be a better husband, to be a better dad, to be a better neighbor, to be a better colleague. And that is what motivates me to practice, as well as personal, and that that sense of interconnectedness that we share. Thank you. This one.
Thank you for pointing out the structures of our thoughts. I never really traced back to who authored my beliefs. I just kind of lived by them unquestioningly. And when you pointed out Hobbes and that idea of practical matters above other things, it just shone a light on my practice, because I intuitively, in my heart, always knew that there were other ways of being, but I didn't know where they came from. And so when you say words like defeat, it makes me realize that practice helps me question whether it is really defeat. Is it really victory? And by questioning these so-called absolutes, I feel more flexible and free. So an example is this idea of winning is best. Like, I think of this story of the Paralympics, where this boy was running
and he was so joyful, and he was well ahead of the pack, and he was screaming and just being so joyful, and then suddenly he stopped when he was so close to the finish line, and the whole audience was like, go, go, and he wouldn't, he just stopped, and then finally they understood why he did it. It was because the other participants finally caught up with him.
Right.
And when they caught up, he held their hands, and all of them crossed the finish line together. So that story always moves me because it shows me that his heart had a different definition of winning. And that's my hope and aspiration for practice and for all of us, that we come from a more heart-centered definition of the rules we want to live by. So thank you. Thank you for tracing back the roots of these so-called truths so that I can discard and maybe create or live by other truths or another place. And that place is more true or aligned with what I feel deep inside. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, Brenda.
You are a very courageous Jedi.
Thank you.
Travis, early in your talk, you mentioned skepticism. I understood what you were saying. You were citing skepticism as an aspect of sort of modernist Hobbesian thought. But I'm not entirely sure what you exactly meant by it. But how do you see skepticism in practice interacting with it together?
Well, skepticism is a large part of what pays the bills. We're 400 years into the scientific revolution, and we have to be in that front of our brains, the analytical, the problem solving, the alert, the discerning, and the hierarchical. It's like a tree, and it extends out far from the roots. If the roots are the spiritual core, we can get with our the way we acquire knowledge so quickly now, we could have a tree that's too tall, top heavy, prone to wind storms. So again, I it's not a bad thing. It's not bad or good. But we've had these waves of waves of idealism, and they inspire us. But we have to come back to the heart, and so if we're out on a ledge. The way I think about my own practices, I go to work and I have to spend, you know, 6 hours in front of a screen, really like working through a design or something, and I'm pushing through a lot of numbers, I have to be more aware to nurture myself after that, you know, to come back to my heart, to have a cup of tea, to come back to myself. And I think that's our challenge as we continue to develop, to balance both the idealistic and the rational. Thank you.
Session now. Next week, we have session coming up. Those of you who are new.